T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, Nick Caserio, the general manager, speaks to Payne and Pendergast this morning. He was on at 7:30. Check the podcast page. Use that Odyssey Rewind feature to hear that. It was a great interview. But he did give a couple of updates on injury slash the next time we'll see folks. First, he gives an update on the starting quarterback position. This is the general manager, Nick Caserio.
We're in the process here of, however many days preparing for Seattle. Just kind of waiting for more information to come through. So we'll probably have a better idea here, tomorrow, Thursday, as to who's going to play. So, we'll make that determination here, when it's appropriate. So I'd say there's a possibility that, either one of them can play. So, we'll see how it goes.
So right there, of course, with Nick, we have no idea. After that answer, he said a lot, said both players' names, but have no idea.
You think Nick Caserio listens to Mike Ryan? He's a good Texas country music guy. I think I've told you before. He's got this really good song I like called "Dancing All Around It."
Nick
does a good job of dancing around it, doesn't he?
Yeah, Nick. I know Nick's listening currently. Let us know. Was it Mike Ryan?
Ryan, Texas country. I think he's a Texas
dancing
Tech guy.
Dancing
all around it. Yeah, I mean, he's actually talking about his girl, and she needs to just go and pull the trigger and bounce because she's dancing all around it. But I mean, it's kind of like Nick when he talks about these kind of decisions here. Boy, he dances all around it.
He dances. Does the percolator all around it. My question to you is, and this is, I wonder, is this the same answer? Who do you actually think will start on Sunday against Seattle? And who do you think should start on Sunday against Seattle? And are they the same person?
Yeah, look, I think that, yes, they're the same person. I think Davis Mills is the quarterback moving forward for the Houston Texans. For whatever reason we want to throw out there, I personally believe Davis Mills is the answer. There was a time when I thought, hey, the offense needed some stability because of how poor they were performing. Well, I thought Tyrod Taylor would bring that. Well, he hasn't. You sit back and you go, okay, well, maybe because they can't protect as well, you need the guy that can move around a little bit more so than the other. Well, at this point in time, I don't believe that the value in him being able to use his legs off script is enough to outweigh the Davis Mills' ability to stretch the field, to find completions and things of that nature. Also, the evaluation aspect of it is still important here with Davis Mills. And ultimately, if this offense is going to be a mess, then it needs to be a mess with a young quarterback that you're evaluating, that's learning on the job, instead of a 10 or 11 year vet that you would expect to not turn the football over, to bring some stability, to make plays. And this offense is just the worst offense that I've seen in the game. And so there's no more excuses of why you would go with a 10 or 11 year vet over a rookie. And I think Davis Mills is the better quarterback on this football team at this point in time. Anyway, I think for all the one player over the other gives you a better chance to win ball. I think Davis Mills gives you a better chance to win ball games.
So you've arrived there. See, yep. I don't know that I'm 100% there that in a game that Davis is very close. It's as close as it's ever been this season of who gives you the best chance to win. And if it's close like that, then I think it's an easy decision to, well, let's just see the guy that we don't have as much tape on. We got 11 years of tape on Tyrod Taylor, and we got 6 games in his rookie year of of Davis Mills.
Well, so look, I mean, let's be honest. It's really this conversation isn't about Davis Mills playing his way up to a 10-year vets level, right? This is about the fact that the veteran that you brought in this team that you hope would bring some stability is playing at a terrible level, ultimately dropping him down to be even in the conversation with a rookie that's not played well, right? I mean, so this isn't, well, boy, Davis Mills is just kicking ass, boy. We got to put him up there. No, this is the fact of the matter is what we saw the first six quarters of the season was clearly smoke and mirrors because the Tyrod Taylor that we've watched for the last four or five games has been nowhere near that. And if we're basing it strictly off of the game film that we've seen this year, I think it is a legit conversation, and I believe Davis Mills is in no show. There's no situation in football rebuild, trying to be competitive, 2-10, 8-8, whatever the hell, doesn't matter. I don't care what your record is. There's no way in the game of football that the quarterback plays is, I don't care who it is, plays as bad as they've played for the last 4 or 5 weeks here in Houston, and that guy, his job security stays the same and we just move forward with him. There's no way. There's no situation where you don't look up right now and go, hey, we got to give the next guy, whoever the next guy is in line. Hell, I don't care if it's Jeff Driscoll. Whoever the next guy is in line, you got to run him out there and see what happens.
Well, maybe Tyrod is saying to himself, well, in those first two games that you're calling smoke and mirrors, I had Laremy Tunsil, who hasn't played in a while, and there was no chance in hell Sean Pendergast was going to let Nick Caserio get off the phone without getting an update on Laremy Tunsil. Sean Pendergast has announced that he believes Laremy Tunsil is done, and he did it a month ago. So this is the latest update from Nick Caserio on when we may see Laremy Tunsil again.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys I would say we're kind of day-to-day, week-to-week. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I don't have a definitive answer for you right now. So, you know, as the season moves forward, if we get more clarity on different player situations, then, you know, we'll have a better idea. But right now, I would say we're kind of day-to-day.
Day-to-day on Laremy Tunsil and
Nick's dancing again.
They're all dancing. All of this. This Laremy Tunsil thing doesn't. He cannot. He has to be healthy enough to play. At this point, man, right? Like, I mean, I don't know how people deal with the thumb injuries or whatever, but now he's day to day. Like, I mean, he's been eligible what, 3 weeks ago? He kind of came off this thing, and I know he had surgery, but wow, it is just odd to see it just lasting this long. And as he said, I don't have a definitive answer to that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think Pendergast hit the nail on the head. He must have an inside track over there.
I think somebody, he does.
Somebody must text him and said, hey, Big Tun's done, baby.
Yeah,
Laremy Tunsil is done. I didn't see that coming either. I don't know how you have the – I mean, because you want to talk about you're already paying Deshaun $10 million. Well, hell, we talked a couple minutes ago about paying Deshaun $35 million. I mean, you're ultimately paying Tunsil $20-plus million right now to just hang.
Let it ride. Chill out. Yep. Get nothing out of that. So that's the latest from Nick Caserio, updates on Tunsil and the quarterback situation.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman joined our guy Michael Schwab on the Schwabcast podcast, and he talked about playing shortstop. As we know, the Astros are up in the air with Carlos Correa and don't have a replacement there if he's not going to be there at this point, at this moment. This was Alex Bregman on the Schwabcast talking about playing shortstop.
I'm training every day to be as athletic as I possibly can. I feel like my most athletic days were in 2018 and 2019. I was basically a shortstop playing third base. I want to be able to move like a shortstop again and cut angles better. And I feel like all of that soft tissue BS is behind me. I feel like I found the cause for it. I now have the pieces in place to prevent it from happening again.
Let's just say at some point Dusty and Espada were like, hey, we need you to play it short. Is that something you'd love to do?
Yeah, I'd play it at an all-star level. Don't get me wrong. We can sign bag number one. I'd love to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not make it 150 postseason games played together?
Wow. He said he could play shortstop at an all-star level, said he believes that those tissue injuries are behind him. Hey, I hope so. If I'm the Astros, yeah. I'm not willing to bet on it. I would hope so because that Alex Bregman – who we saw at the end of the season that had to be dropped to the seventh hole in the World Series because he had countless injuries and was not himself, is a guy that I would want to avoid. And him moving to shortstop doesn't sound like a good recipe for that.
Well, it would be a hell of a storyline. I mean, I think Bregman, I mean, he'd have some big shoes to fill. And I like where his head's at in a sense of training in the offseason in a way that he could feels like he could play all-star level shortstop. I like where his head's at. I think it definitely is a good backup plan for the Astros if indeed it is the route they choose to go. So well done, Schwab. Well done getting Bregman on the pod and getting him to drop a little little nugget right there. I like
that's
it, right, man.
That's good. It is. I'm out on him playing shortstop.
Why? You've never seen him do it.
I've seen him get injured with his legs repeatedly, and moving over.
This is unbelievable.
It's not a.
unbelievable. So you're worried about the move from third to short because you think it taxes his legs more?
Yes, a lot more that position. Yes, the movement, the range that he's got.
I got to talk to Teresa.
You got to.
Hot butter.
I'm just saying, look at him playing
hot
third.
Hot butter.
Look at him playing third base.
Hold
and then
on,
moving
go.
Over to that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea at all for his. Hell,
I mean,
you know
he
what,
can hit and double and triple and run hard to first base, but he can't field a few balls in the hole per game?
It's not just field a few balls in the hole. It's over time and the movement that he has to do compared to what he does at third base where he keeps having leg issues every
–
you know what? Let's
baby,
move the
baby
move Jordan up there.
We need to protect Jordan's knees and Bregman's soft
tissues. I mean, with it.
You're
going to
be pushing for
move
a double DH next.
No, move Jordan up there.
Gotta
no,
watch out.
Play Jordan, play short.
Watch
why
out.
Not? Why not, huh?
Power alleys and shortstop.
Who cares?
Who alleys,
you know what,
Tyler? Power alleys and grounders deep in the hole, boy.
Oh, Tyler, you go to – oh, so you good with him moving to short?
No.
Yeah, why?
No,
why are
not.
You not good, baby
just,
booty self?
I just know. No.
No, because you know he's going to get
like,
hurt.
He just don't like the little short-legged Bregman trying to cover. He, don't think
he does
he,
have
he don't
some
short,
stubby
do
legs.
He don't think he can do it. You're over here worried about his damn hamstring.
I think he could play it. I'm worried about it. I'm worried about all of the leg injuries that he keeps having and moving over to a much grueling position at shortstop. Hell yeah, I am.
Baby 3-3.
Damn right.
Number 3.
I'm on it. You can laugh all you want to. That's exactly what the Astros are thinking.
Yeah, you're right. That's what the Astros trainer is thinking. You are correct.
Damn it. All right. The Walter Payton Man of the Year nominees are out, and each and every team nominates one of their players, including Dallas nominated Dak Prescott, the Chiefs nominated Tyrann Mathieu, the Titans nominated Derrick Henry at the Houston Texans. Nominated Justin Reed, fresh off a suspension fresh off a suspension due to disciplinary issues. Justin Reed is the nominee for the Walter, and he deserves it. He deserves it. Justin Reed is a stand-up guy. Everything that I hear, and
is that a player vote or does like the front office decide on that? Can we figure that out?
I don't know.
That would be interesting. Brandon Cooks,
no, would be.
Brandon Cooks dices up the team on social media after the Ingram trade. He's the captain the next week. They said, "Hell, we can hold my beer." Justin Reed said, "Hold my beer and watch this. I'm going to get my helmet taken away, and a week later, I'm going to be the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the Houston Texans." Wow.
Oh, holy cow.
I'm with you, Nasty Jim. I am with you.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
By the way, Nasty Jim called the post game.
Really?
And it was great.
Oh, God.
You just let him lay in there, did you?
It was great. Oh, no question.
Let him hang out. All right. The finalists for the Heisman Trophy are out, and really it shouldn't even be a competition, but there is one connection with the Texans that I think we got to get into. We'll discuss that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right. The Heisman Trophy finalists were announced yesterday, Clint, and I want to see if you had any issues with any of the guys, the four that were there. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, Michigan defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett, that slime ball who did that fake slide and was able to juke everybody and score a touchdown. I feel like that should have been a 15-yard penalty.
What?
That was
awesome.
No, that wasn't. That was BS. And he should have had his head taken off. I hope the next
That's
time.
That's gamesmanship.
And I hate to say that because I don't want to be safe.
No, you're right, Show. You're
that
right.
That was bull. That was bull from Kenny Pickett.
In fact, the NCAA needs to come back, and they need or the college football needs to come back, and they need to make a rule where that is starting your slide, because that rule is. When you go feet first, wherever your slide starts is where they mark you down. You don't get the entire slide. When you squat your weight like that and make an obvious
move, gave yourself up, so everybody stopped.
It just tilted.
I mean, you could tell he's practiced. No, he didn't just tilt. If you missed it, Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh, in the ACC championship game against Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons, which, as I said to you earlier, I didn't know that there were actually Wake Forest football fans until I saw the game, and they were in uniforms or whatever, but they were out there. He runs, does a fake slide like he's about to go down. I mean, he sells it. He looks like he's going down. All the defensive players stop, and then he gets himself back up and then scores. And I'm just like, okay. That was Bush League for real from Kenny Pickett. He's had a really great year and deserves to be in the Heisman to be a finalist, but that was BS from him. And then Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud. Those are the four. Any problem with those fours as the finalists?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with any of those four being finalists, but I do have a problem with Will Anderson, the nation's leading sack master right now in college football, not being in there. If you watch. And I didn't watch a ton of Michigan football. I did watch what I would say is probably Aiden Hutchinson. Is Hutchinson?
Yeah.
It's probably his best game or one of his best games against Ohio State. And then obviously he played is pretty impressive against Iowa as well. and he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but Will Anderson Jr., if we're talking about defensive players, we got to start with Will Anderson Jr. I mean, you watch how he plays the game and how he impacts the game from different levels of the defense. 15 and a half sacks. This dude's special. Now, we're splitting hairs because I think the kid out of Michigan is a really, really, really good player as well, and I think he deserves to be there. But Will Anderson should have been there. So in a year, like we've seen this year, or I don't know that Kenny Pickett and C.J. Stroud are shoe-ins where guys like, hey, they got to be there. No, they were on the fringe. To me, Will Anderson is a dude that when you watch him play, he got to be there.
He got to be there. I was surprised that, and I think it's fair, that Kenny Walker, after watching him against Michigan, I was surprised. There was no way.
State running back?
Yeah, there's no way that I thought after that game that he wasn't going to make it, but they really kind of petered off as a team, and so did he, especially in their bigger games against Ohio State down the stretch. But I thought he would get there, but he isn't. But, no, I can go with that. I could go with that, taking Kenny Pickett or C.J. Stroud down and putting Anderson in there, because we know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a deal of, hey, man, dude, this is when they had Vince, Young, and they had Reggie Bush up there and Matt Leinart. You're like, no, man, these guys may win. Now, we know, right, if anybody fixed their fingers to grab a pen and then write something other than Bryce Young as the Heisman Trophy winner, they shouldn't be allowed to vote anymore.
Look, I don't disagree with you. Now, I don't know when votes could go come in at any point in time. So, did votes go in before the college football championship game? Because the SEC championship game. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, before the SEC championship game,
who'd you have?
It was a toss up for me. I would probably have gone with Will Anderson Jr. at that point in time. One of the defensive players, I think Aiden Hutchinson would have been high on my list because of the way he played against Ohio State. I don't know. Show Bryce Young would have been in the conversation.
Yeah, the Auburn. I think most people turn him in after the regular season, and the Auburn game to me that was the moment he had.
That was
the
moment.
The game that felt like all it was
a moment.
Was that he separated? Yeah, himself.
That's fair. Fair
because the Arkansas game down the stretch too. He was nasty. Absolutely insane and putting up crazy numbers then. And then obviously the Georgia game, he's like the best player in the country. The interesting thing with this, though, Clint, is all four of these guys, if you're a Texans fan, you look at it, man, they beat upgrades, or hell, I'd look at any of them, potentially as being a part of this team moving down in the future. Kenny Pickett, he'll come out now. C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, the quarterbacks out of Michigan State and Ohio State, can't come out. And then Aiden Hutchinson is being talked about as potentially being the number one pick in this draft coming up. All of those players would be additions that would be improvements to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, look, I think Kenny Pickett coming out this year, I think there's a good chance that as the evaluations of these quarterbacks this year, which it's a weaker quarterback class, I think as the evaluations unfold over the offseason, I could very easily see Kenny Pickett being the number one or number two rated quarterback coming out. Now, I think the Malik Willis kid out of Liberty is going to end up being the number one. I think Matt Corral will be a guy that is going to be in that two range. And I think Kenny Pickett will probably be three. But it wouldn't surprise me if those three guys weren't in any order, if you will. Kenny Pickett, I mean, I've watched him play multiple times this year, and the dude's lights out. 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, he's playing big time football, and he's got that vibe. That's that playoff schedule. Can drop the arm slot. Can do all those 2021 things that they ask quarterbacks to do. Not quite the athlete that I think, you know, that the college game probably couched him to be once he gets to the NFL. But I do think he is a legit top three quarterback coming out this year. Now, where that falls, first round, early second round, you know, late first, early. I don't know. I don't know where it falls, but I think he's a good one. So as you talk about the Heisman, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, if you're a Houston Texans fan, the truth of the matter is you know, you hope that you can get one or more of these guys on your squad, and you're gonna have a legit chance at them whenever they do come out.
It is, and the most realistic one right now, and we'll see what the Lions do down the stretch and the Texans. The most realistic one is Aiden Hutchinson, and this is my Aiden Hutchinson take. Clint is, I mean, this is, I'd be nervous for him coming here because he would immediately, just by appearance, look, position, would be compared to J.J. Watt. I mean, it would immediately would be, especially if he's a number one or number two pick, that will be
big shoes to fill.
That would be thrown right at him, because when I watch him, that's what I like. I'm not saying he is J.J., but I look at him, I'm like, God, that guy's motor never stops.
Yeah,
I've seen him play on the inside and the outside. He's got a certain level of intensity. He's got speed. He's bigger. Like, that's what he would look like, and that would immediately, I think, people in Houston would look at him and place that type of
expectation
potentially on him, just because he looks. I mean, that's what he looks.
Yeah,
like, I mean, yeah. Partly it's because he's white.
Yeah, I think so. You left one strong characteristic off, is because he's a white guy. But
he's a white guy that's built and looks like
JJ.
But I think that's what people would.
That's fair. That's fair. I think it's spot on, man. I think Bryce Young wins this thing running away with it. I think it's a landslide. Even before, because I do think I was probably a little bit hard evaluating him through the season. The jury was still out for me, but once I saw last week, it's easy for me to sit here and tell you who should win it at this point in time.
Yeah. All right. Hey, stay tuned right here. Stay with us. Your next opportunity to win a pair of tickets on this Texans Ticket Tuesday, as they'll take on the Seattle Seahawks coming up on Sunday, is at 3:45, between 3:45 and the top of the hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. All right, coming up, Nick Caserio spoke with Payne and Pendergast this morning, and there were three major takeaways, and one of them, Clint says, it's time. It's time that Tyrod Taylor sits down. We'll discuss that next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Nick Caserio, he spoke exclusively right here on Sports Radio 610, spoke with Payne and Pendergast earlier today, this morning. And Clint, I think one of the big things that was on your mind here was, all right, what are they going to do with the quarterback situation? And we've heard from David Culley, but it does feel a little different when you hear from Nick Caserio and hear his thoughts on it with things, as he feels like he is the top decision maker, at least in terms with the football team. And this was his thoughts on the moving forward, what could potentially happen at the starting position.
We're in a process here over the next, you know, however many days, preparing for Seattle. Just kind of waiting for some more information to come through. So we'll probably have a better idea here, you know, tomorrow, Thursday, as to who's going to play. So, you know, we'll make that determination here, you know, when it's appropriate. So I'd say there's a possibility that, you know, either one of them can play. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yesterday, David Culley said it would be a football decision on who would play.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a good job. Strike up the band, T. Strike up the damn band. I got a song for you. This is Mike Ryan dancing all around it right here for y'all. Great, a really, really good Texas Red Dirt Country song. I believe he's a Texas Tech grad, Mike Ryan. The title of this track here is Dancing All Around It.
Let's dance all around
it. It's a really good one. And this is, we're going to play this music in the background when Nick Caserio, and David Culley for that matter, when they start dancing all around it, when they start dancing all around the answer, this is going to be the theme music right here. And you know, I mean, so for me, it'd be very easy to make the decision.
Are you going to be able to talk?
There it is. It's a great tune. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy, man. I mean, this is a Davis Mills decision, right? It's a Davis Mills decision. It's obvious at this point in time that the best quarterback on this football team, all things considered, now which matters, right? I mean, everybody gets hung up on the best quarterback. The best quarterback right now for the Houston Texans, all things considered, is Davis Mills. There you go. There it is. Y'all download that, Nick. It's a good one, boy, because you and O'Cully are good at that. Y'all good at this now.
713 as you're dancing all around it in your car. 713-572-4610. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with Clint? Clint says not due to the ligaments in the left wrist or the injury or anything, just right now as we sit on December the 7th, Davis Mills is the best quarterback on this team and gives this team the best chance to win. That's where Clint is. Do you agree with Clint on that? You got to give a little bit more because I don't know if that's a popular thought. Well,
I don't
right
care
now.
If it's popular.
Don't believe that Davis should be starting. I don't know if people are to a point where they think Davis Mills is better than Tyrod Taylor. Why
well,
are you
first of all, I think the conversation is about Tyrod Taylor has played himself down to a level of a first-year quarterback at this point in time. I mean, and look, I understand that
there's no debating that with his last two games.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Whereas if you're a 10 or 11-year vet that's not going to be a part of the future here in Houston, then you've got to bring something to the table through this rebuild that we can't live without. I mean, you got to bring a level of stability. You got to bring a level of play that's going to allow us to win a couple of games here or there. You got to bring a level of play that's going to allow us to evaluate other players. You got to not lose football games and not kill drives. And he's doing all of those things. And all I'm saying is if you're going to do those things, let it be a rookie that's learning through and could potentially be a future player on this team, even if he's a backup. I'm not saying he is or he isn't a starter in this league or I don't know what he's going to be. But if that's what's going to take place at the quarterback position, it's more valuable if it's a rookie doing that. Now, I believe that's part of the equation. I think, secondly, yeah, the evaluating Davis Mills is valuable. That's a reason why you start him. And I think, quite frankly, to be completely honest with you, I think right now Davis Mills gives you a better chance in this particular offense with what's going on around the quarterback to produce offensively.
Okay. Why do you think that's the case? Because I remember the last game they won, I remember you came out, and I agreed with you that there's no way that Davis Mills wins. They're able to win that game if Davis Mills was the quarterback, because Tyrod Taylor was able to scramble and score those touchdowns. He's the quarterback on the team outside of Jeff Driscoll.
Well, yeah,
obviously,
but that comment wasn't because Tyrod Taylor played great. It was because the offense played so bad that the only two plays that were made were him scrambling when the defense gave them the football on the 15-yard line, and then when the defense gave them the football on the 6-yard line. And so those circumstances aren't going to present themselves every week, right? And we can't call plays around a quarterback and bank on him being able to scramble. And quite frankly, Tyrod Taylor is good when the play breaks down. He's not great. It's not like he just provides all of a sudden this unbelievable advantage that you have when he gets outside the pocket. Can he do it? Yeah. Is it serviceable? Yeah. But
it's not like what you said earlier, the thing can't live without.
We talk about it like it's Lamar Jackson or something. We talk about it like it's Josh Allen or something. We talk about it like it's
Jeff Driscoll.
Like it's Kyler Murray or something. Like he's getting outside the pocket and making these unbelievable throws and runs and things of that nature. And it's just not the case. At some point, like Tyrod Taylor, if he's doing all the things that you expect Tyrod Taylor to do, and then also scrambling and making plays that are helping keeping you, okay, then we can talk about him being the best option here. But the fact of the matter is the offense that he's leading, all things considered, I know it is an uphill battle and it is a steep ass climb for whoever's quarterbacking. But all things considered, he's consistently shown us that he's going to turn the ball over just like Davis Mills did. And I'd rather my quarterback turn the ball over
the way Davis
forcing it into down the field, at least trying to make big plays than the way that Tyrod has.
No, I said it. We were in the press box that first interception. I'm like, man, we could watch Davis Mills if that's what's going to be.
Yeah, and then too, if we evaluate the play, they've both been unacceptably bad, no question about it. But you can look at the New England game and from a quarterback perspective, hey, throwing the football around the park.
Texans-Patriots earlier this year.
Yes,
right? Yep.
Yeah, winning the game because the quarterback played well, or at least putting yourself in position because you didn't win the game. At least put yourself in position to win the game because the quarterback played well. The best quarterback play that we've seen this year has been Davis Mills. It don't matter if you're trying to win ball games. It doesn't matter if you're evaluating a quarterback. It doesn't matter if you're playing the quarterback that's a better fit for this offense. Where they're clearly not going to include the design quarterback run, and so they're calling plays and designing offense around a pocket passer anyway. And that all of the answer to all of those situations I just laid out there is Davis Mills. And then you look at what happened last week when Davis Mills did get in the game. Sure, he was lost on several, threw the ball to Grandma a couple of times. Looked like he's reading the whole wrong side of the field a couple of times. But immediately, out of the gate, it's like the play calling changed. All of a sudden, Brandon Cooks, two plays into Davis Mills getting in the huddle, Brandon Cooks smiled again for the first time in 3 weeks.
Even after catching the touchdown, from the text line, said agreed, mostly because Davis would at least be willing to throw to their best player, Cookie.
Yeah.
Deshaun Miss.
Cookie was on Empire.
One. She was. There you go.
Cookie was
like
on
that.
Empire.
You, yeah. Online. Yeah. She was also on Benjamin Button, but that must be Deshaun.
I'm an Empire guy, not a Benjamin Button guy.
I like them both.
Okay, culture.
But no, I mean, immediately he comes in. That's my thing is, I don't know if I'm wrapping my head around that Davis is better, because I feel like he got in. I mean, he threw for less than 50%. I mean, and they weren't good either. He just didn't have the egregious.
And Coley did tell us that the receivers were right when he got a grounding call and he looked through the way, the receiver was right.
No, I can't wrap my – but it does seem like Tim is better when Davis Mills is in the game. Like, the best game plan we've seen all year was against the Patriots, and Tim was out here throwing flea flickers and doing all this stuff against – he seemed that Chris Moore was involved against
them. One thing I could see changing – show like legitimately that would make sense is when Tyrod Taylor's in there, and this is unfair to Tyrod, but when Tyrod Taylor's in there, they're calling plays like sprinting the first play of the game to Davion Davis, and they're throwing fourth down stop routes into a rolled up corner to Nico Collins. They're doing things like that when Tyrod Taylor's in there, almost like they're trying to evaluate these guys. But then when you put Davis Mills in there, Tim Kelly's mind switches to, hey, I got to get the best player of the ball. I got to give the young fella the best out, to get a drive started here. And he immediately goes to Brandon Cooks. He immediately goes to misdirection type of run, right? So I'm not saying that is happening. It may have just been coincidence because it quickly changed back to what we had watched with every other quarterback. But I think the shoe's on the other foot right now. Here's where I'm at. I think you'd have a hard time convincing somebody that Tyrod Taylor should remain the quarterback. Whereas 4 or 5 weeks ago, it was very very short conversation of why Tyrod should be in there. Today, I think it'd be very difficult to explain to someone why Tyrod should play over Davis Mills on multiple fronts.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was over. I said when we saw him go into the medical tent and I saw Davis Mills put on his helmet, I think I tweeted it out, like, I think it's time that this is the quarterback moving forward. Like, it should be this time. And my thing is, I don't know that he's better, but I know we've got 10 and a half years of tape on Tyrod Taylor. And you got 6 games worth of tape on Davis Mills. Get as much tape on him right now. You're 2-10.
I know people don't want to hear this, but there's a good chance that Davis Mills is your quarterback in 2022.
Yeah,
like I'm talking about buckle up, roll the windows down, and let's ride your quarterback. I'm not talking about, well, he's going to bring in a veteran and they're going to split time and we'll decide at game time. I could see this crew riding with Davis Mills in 2022. There's not a quarterback in this draft that you move up to take. There's not a quarterback in this draft that you take in the top 5 where you already have a pick. And so if they're not going to take if the Texans aren't going to take a quarterback in the top 5 of the draft, You've got a second/third round guy now.
Yeah.
Why would you waste another second/third round pick on another quarterback? It makes zero sense.
Do you try to get another Tyrod Taylor like? Do you try to get another like Gardner Minshew? Do you try to
get those guys in 6-7? Yeah. I mean down in the 6th-7th round. Yeah. I mean there's gonna be some guys out there that
like a veteran, like
Bringing in
Gardner Minshew.
No, Gardner Minshew wants to start. I mean, he's having a hard time. When he gets in there, he balls out. If I go Gardner Minshew, I bring Gardner Minshew, and he's my bridge.
That's what I'm thinking. Because if a Gardner Minshew came here, he's beating out Davis Mills to be the starter.
But I just don't know. You bring a Gardner Minshew type in here, he's your starting quarterback, and you're just going to bridge the gap with him. If you decide to go with Davis Mills, then you bring in what's the guy they keep trying to make the head coach over here?
Josh McCown.
McCown. Yeah, you bring in somebody like that, like somebody in that part of his career where he's damn near 40 years old, career backup, has no problem coming in here and just riding a wave and being a good mentor, and you let Davis Mills ride. I mean, to me, that's your options. You bring a guy in here that's a legitimate, has like starter aspirations, like a Gardner Minshew, then he's your starter. I mean, he's your starter. You bridge the gap, whether it's one more year, two more years, whatever it may be, let that guy, because you're going to win games with him. I mean, you're going to win ball games with Gardner Minshew moving forward.
He did Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to win ball games with him. Or you bring in an old wily vet that just wants to pick up an extra $4 or $5 million a year for the next three, and you plug him in and say, you're going to be my backup. There's a lot of dudes out there like that, man. And you tell them up front, hey, your job is to make Davis Mills as good a quarterback as he can be. I want you to mentor him. I want you to be in his ear. I want you, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback coach all working together to make this kid, to get the most out of this kid, period. And you see what happens. There's no plan to me where Davis Mills is competing with another third-round draft pick or another young quarterback that has starting aspirations. Yeah. Like, that doesn't turn me on at all.
No, it doesn't. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. Davis Mills, it's been reported from guys like Ian Rappaport that he could be the starting quarterback on Sunday. And so, Clint, there was also Casario spoke also about, I think this was interesting because this may be the first time we've really heard him address where things are. They talked to him about the state of the organization, where they are right now. This was Casario.
The bottom line is collectively, like, we haven't all performed well enough, and, you know, all of us have to take responsibility, and we're all accountable. I'd say the reality is, if I'm being candid, I knew that this was a pretty massive undertaking when I took over in January, that there was a lot of work to be done. You know, I would say when you go through any season, when whatever your team, you know, you're with, when you prepare for an opponent, you know, you have a pretty comprehensive understanding, or at least you should, of the team that you're playing that week. So from how the team was built, to the staff, to their philosophy, to the players on the team, you know, there's a lot of players that I've evaluated over the course of however many years that have been added to this team. So quite frankly, some of the things that have taken place aren't really that surprising. I knew it was going to be a massive undertaking. There was a lot of work to be done, and, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's part of, I would say, what a lot of teams go through.
A massive undertaking. Like, that was interesting because it's really the first time we've heard him strongly acknowledge how rough it was and what he was taking over.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I thought that stood out when I was listening to it on Payne and Pendergast this morning. That stood out immediately. And you know, here's the only part I will disagree with him on, and this is in support of him and what he's been tasked with, is, you know, he said it's similar to what teams go through. I disagree.
No.
I mean, you're talking about, I mean, there's GMs that take over organizations that the locker room's unhealthy, but the front office isn't. Right. I mean, there's head coaches that take over after a team lost a bunch of games, but the GM in the front office is still healthy and in a good spot. And all you have to do is football things. And all you have to do is get along with the GM and the scouting department and things of that nature. And you go win ball games. What Nick Casario has been tasked with is a front office that was dismantled before he got here. A locker room that was gutted before he got here. A quarterback that is impossible to trade at this point in time and will not play when he got here. A salary cap that was in shambles when he got here. Draft capital, the first draft he had with the team was an absolute cluster, right? He didn't even have a first or second round pick. And so, I mean, I appreciate
the heat of Jack Easterby.
He's the root of it all, right? I mean, all the problems, there's no question. But my point is with Nick is I appreciate you kind of you said it was what term did he use? A massive undertaking. But at the same time, you back that up by saying, oh, well, you know, it's similar to what other teams. No, it's, I believe what you've been tasked with is significantly more difficult than what other teams go through typically.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the worst I've ever seen.
Yep. And when to hear him acknowledge and hear you acknowledge it is why I stand pat on what I said yesterday. With all of that and your first major move was David Culley. That seems like that didn't seem like the space to go to when you have that type of situation. Happening there. All right, Ticket Tuesday, your next chance to win coming up at 3:45, between 3:45 and the top of the hour. And listen, we're going to be the messengers, but you might want to listen because this situation with Deshaun Watson, this could be worse than rock bottom. We'll describe that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get the one and done you want for your dog's monthly protection. NexGard Plus, a Foxalaner Moxidectin and Pyrantel chewable tablets, protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms, all in one delicious beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.